भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 5 द डेमिगॉड्स अपील टू द लॉर्ड टेक्स्ट 35 एंड 36।
यक्षुरासि तरणीर्देवयानम् त्रयमयो ब्रह्मण एष धिष्ण्यम् द्वारं च मुक्तेरमृतं च मृत्युः प्रसीदतां नः स महाविभूतिः
Yet that which Chakshuh, I, Asid, became Taranihi, the sun god, Devayanam, the predominating deity for the path of deliverance for the demigods, Trayi Mayaha, for the sake of guidance, in Karmakanda, Vedic knowledge, Brahmanaha, of the Supreme Truth, Eshaha, this, Dhishnyam, the place for realization, Dwaram Cha, as well as the gateway, Muktehe, for liberation, Amritam, the path of eternal life, Cha, as well as Mrityuho, the cause of death, Prasidatam, may he be pleased, Naha, upon us, Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavibhutihi, the All-Powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Sun God marks the path of liberation, which is called Archiradi Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life, as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Purport. The sun god is considered to be the chief of the demigods. He is also considered to be the demigod who watches the northern side of the universe. He gives help for understanding the Vedas, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 52, Yachakshuresha savitas sakalagrahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaha Yasyagnya Brahmati Sambhritakala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The sun full of infinite effulgence, is the king of all the planets and the image of the good soul. The sun is like the eye of the Supreme Lord. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey, mounting the wheel of time. The sun is actually the eye of the Lord. In the Vedic mantras, it is said that unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees, no one can see. Unless there is sunlight, no living entity on any planet can see. Therefore, the sun is considered to be the eye of the Supreme Lord. That is confirmed here by the words Yat Chakshur Asit, and in the Brahma Samhita by the words Yat Chakshur Esha Savita. The word Savita means the sun god. Kindly repeat the translation. The sun god marks the path of liberation. Which is called Archiradi Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation. And he is the source of eternal life, as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that Supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundinataranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhabhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradara Naparaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta
राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So with the permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and especially the senior devotees present, I'd like to speak something about this very nice verse and the beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada. The demigods are offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. And prayers usually are glorification of the Lord. The sun god is being glorified here apparently, but actually it is the Supreme Lord who is being glorified. Because the demigods recognize that the original repository of all glory, of all power, of all opulence and everything exceptional in this world is actually the Supreme Lord. So the sun god is so important in this universe. As the demigods mention here, he is the chief source of understanding of the scriptures of the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation. He is a source of eternal life as well as the cause of death. And he is the eye of the Supreme Lord. So the relevance and the importance of the sun god is imparted to him by the Supreme Lord. Let's focus for a while on this one point that is mentioned here and which also Srila Prabhupada mentions in the later part of the purport, that the sun is actually the eye of the Lord. And that unless the Supreme Lord sees, no one can see. Indeed, unless the Supreme Lord perceives anything, nobody on any planet in any universe can perceive anything. When we consider the eyes and the ears of the Supreme Lord to be everywhere, the sun is the eye of the Lord, the moon is also an eye of the Lord, then there are those who follow an impersonalist understanding of the absolute truth who declare that actually the Supreme Lord is impersonal. He doesn't have a form, he doesn't have senses, etc. In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th text, Krishna himself says, Sarvatahu Pani Padam Tat Sarvatokshi Shiro Mukha Sarvato Shrutimal Loke Sarvam Avritya Tishtati. Sarvataha means everywhere. Pani Padam Tat. Pani means the hand, Padam means the feet. Tat means to him. Here Krishna is referring to the Super Soul, who is his own expansion. So he says, Sarvataha Pani Padam Tat. Everywhere are his hands and legs. Referring in the third person to the Super Soul, because we understand that Krishna, the person, is actually the source of the Super Soul. So everywhere are his hands and legs. Sarvato, sarvataha, which means everywhere, akshi, shiraha, mukhaha, are his eyes, his head, and his face. Similarly, sarvataha, shrutimal loke, he has eyes, he has ears, Shrutimal, everywhere. Sarvam avritya tishtati. In this way, the Super Soul pervades everything. So this, at cursory reading, at cursory glance, may appear to be an impersonalist statement. After all, when we say that someone has eyes and ears and legs and hands and face and head everywhere, it means that he is all-pervading and that he has no form. But Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse, indicates that actually the Supreme Lord has spiritual senses. He does have senses, but they are spiritual. What to speak of the Supreme Lord? Even the individual soul has spiritual senses. The individual living entity is spiritual and has spiritual senses. But in the conditioned state, these spiritual senses are covered over by matter, and therefore the individual living entity identifies himself with matter and acts through matter. And therefore these senses made up of matter form the identity, the illusioned identity of the living entity. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, referring to those with an impersonalist persuasion, they think that they are now in the conditioned state of life, but when they gain knowledge, then they will actually realize that they are the Supreme, and therefore that their hands and legs are indeed everywhere. The individual living entity, all of us, we have hands and legs which are localized. We cannot reach out to some other city and obtain something with our hands. Our hands have very limited reach. Our legs have limited reach. Our senses have limited reach. But those who are impersonalists, Mayavadis, they think that actually when we attain perfection of liberation through knowledge, then we will also become supreme. And our hands and legs and senses will also be all-pervading. There will be no difference between us and the Absolute Truth. And Srila Prabhupada says, but actually that is a contradiction, because it means that the Supreme has come under illusion, and that cannot be. The Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada explains, is not like the individual living entity, because the Lord's senses are not only spiritual, but they are always spiritual. Even when the Supreme Lord descends into the material world, he comes with his original spiritual body, which has its original spiritual senses. So the Lord's senses are never covered by matter at any point in time. So the Lord can extend his hands anywhere. And in a very interesting comment in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, citing the famous Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam verse, where Krishna says that if we offer to him with devotion a leaf, fruit, flower or water, he will accept it. So Srila Prabhupada says there, if the Lord is very far away in a distant place in the spiritual world, how is it that he can accept what we offer him here in the material world on the earth planet? It's because he can extend his hand all the way forward and accept it. So his hand is not localized, his hand is everywhere. So Krishna is sitting in the spiritual world, but he extends his hands all the way and then he accepts our offerings. And that's because he has hands and legs everywhere. He has spiritual senses which are not limited by matter. This is the omnipotence of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, that even though he is at one place, he can actually be everywhere. His senses are ever present. At the same time, his personality is not lost. Golok eva nivasatya khilatma bhuto. Srila Prabhupada cites this from the Brahma Samhita to say that even though Krishna resides eternally in his eternal youthful form in Goloka Vrindavan, he is nevertheless all-pervading. So this apparent contradiction of Krishna being the eternal person in one location but nevertheless being all-pervading simultaneously is mysterious, is mystical and difficult to understand unless one hears in the disciplic succession of saintly devotees who are devoid of all such false impersonalist conceptions. In the very next verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the 15th verse, Krishna says, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. He says that Supreme Soul, his senses are actually, he's the original source of all the senses. Abhasam. Abhasam means the original source. So he is the original source of all the indriyas, of all the senses of all the living entities. And yet the next line may be misleading if one doesn't see it properly. Sarvendriya Vivarjitam. Even though the Supreme Lord is the original source of all the senses of all the living entities, he is still devoid of senses. Vivarjitam means devoid of. So again in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada takes pains to emphasize that the Supreme Lord being without senses doesn't mean he has no senses. It means that he has no material senses. He very much has spiritual senses. And therefore, he is very active. His spiritual senses are active everywhere. And it is because he can see, because his spiritual senses are active, that our senses also become active. Therefore, we see through Krishna's senses. We see because Krishna sees. Krishna sees first, then we see. So therefore, understanding Krishna and Krishna's transcendental senses is a very important part of our theology. It so happens that, actually this very sense, what comes to mind now is a pastime of Advaita Acharya, where Mahaprabhu, I think in the Mahaprakash Leela, tells him, you know, one time you were greatly aggrieved because you did not understand the meaning or the purport of this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the one that I just read out, the 14th verse, Sarvataha Pani Padam Tat. And you were agonizing over the true meaning of this verse. You did not understand at that time what it means for the Supreme Lord to have hands and legs and eyes and ears, etc., everywhere. You wanted to understand the meaning of this, and I appeared to you in your dream and clarified this. And you were particularly agonizing about this verse, Apani Pado Javano Grahita Apashyata Chakshu Nashrinoti Akarnaha, which is in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Srila Prabhupada cites this particular verse many times in his purports in the Bhagavatam, this verse from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. A similar word, Apani Padaha. Pani means hand, Pada means feet. When there is a prefix A, it's a negation. So Apani Padaha means without hands and feet. The A applies to Pani as well as Padaha. So the Shvetashvatara Upanishad says, Apani Padaha Javano Grahita. Grahita means he accepts. Even though the Lord has no hands and feet, he is capable of grasping and accepting anything and everything. Pashyati, he sees, achakshuhu, even though he has no eyes, he accepts. Similarly, sa shrinoti akarnaha. He has no karna, no ear, but shrinoti, he hears. Similarly, sa vetti vedyam nachatasya vetti. He is the object of knowledge. He is the knower of everything, and no one understands him. And he is that Supreme Person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, do you remember Advaita? I came and clarified the correct understanding of this verse to you. And I explained how the Supreme Lord actually has transcendental senses. And that means nirguna. Nirguna means that which is beyond the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature. The conditioned living entity's senses are within the purview of the three modes, but not so with the Supreme Lord, even when he descends into this material world. Since we are speaking about Mayavadis and impersonalists, Srila Prabhupada explains at one point what it means to be a Mayavadi. There are many definitions of the term that Prabhupada has given at many places. One of the definitions he says is, Mayavad means that philosophy, vad means philosophy or argument or reasoning, in which one believes that the Lord's body is made of Maya, of material elements. Because the Mayavadis believe that when the Lord descends, that impersonal, original, absolute truth descends into this material world, He accepts a body that is made of material elements. But that is not the case. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter also, Krishna says, Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam abuddhayah param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. He says that there are those who are imbued with less, endowed with less intelligence, or no intelligence, abuddhaya actually, who think that I was originally avyakta, unmanifest, and now I have become vyaktim, I have become a person, I have got a form, I have got senses, but originally I was impersonal and unmanifest. So from that original unmanifest impersonal existence, I have now got a form. But actually that is not a fact, Krishna says. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam. I have not attained or obtained this form from that original impersonal formless existence. Ignorant people say this because they do not understand who I am, my transcendental nature, my spiritual form. So this is a very, very important conclusion for us, that the Lord is always a transcendental person. He has transcendental senses even when He descends into this material world. Ajopi san navyayatma bhutanam ishvarupi san prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavamyatmamayaya. Krishna says that ajaha api, even though I am unborn, still I am born in this material world. But the difference between Krishna's birth and our birth is that Krishna comes of His own free will. He appears out in His internal potency, atma mayaya. We are born in mahamaya. Krishna's appearance is atma maya, His internal energies. We are in the Damodar month, and every evening we sing the Damodarashtakam prayers. The very first verse of the Damodarashtakam says, Namamishwaram Satchidananda Rupam Lasatkundalam Gokulam Brajamanam. So the very first line says, Namami, I offer my obeisances to Ishwaram, that Supreme Lord, who is Satchidananda Rupam. He has a rupam, He has a form that is made of sat, chit and ananda. A form that is made of eternality, that is made of cognizance or knowledge and of bliss. So His very rupam, His form is the embodiment of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Now the word rupam is very important. So the first verse of the Damodarashtakam actually focuses on this one word, rupam, which means that Satyavrata Muni is praying to that Supreme Lord who has rupam, who has form. After all, it is only a form that can engage in pastimes. It is only a form that can be tied to a grinding mortar. We do not have any experience, so it is not possible to see some formless light engaging in pastimes with people. So the Supreme Lord has a rupam. We also have a rupam or a form, but in the conditioned state our form is made of matter. And it is not sat chit ananda, it is asat achit nirananda. It is temporary, it is full of ignorance and full of suffering. But Krishna's form is a very embodiment of eternity, knowledge and bliss. And we have the famous verse from the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. One of our most celebrated and oft quoted verses, that Krishna is the supreme controller, the controller of all controllers, Ishvara Paramaha Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. So he has a Vigraha, which is another word for Rupam. He has a form that is made of Sat, Chit and Ananda. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary to this verse, explains that Satchidananda Vigraha means that Krishna's form is non-different from his very self. There's no difference between Krishna and his form. There is a difference between us and our form in the material world. We are the spirit soul and the body is material. So there is a duality, there is a distinction between the self and the form in the material world for us. But for Krishna, whether in the spiritual world or whether when he appears in the material world, there is no distinction between the self and the form, that is his body. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta goes on to say that Krishna's form is concentrated, is the concentrated essence of Satchit Ananda, of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Whereas the impersonal Brahman is diluted, formless Satchit Ananda. So on one hand, you have the concentrated, the embodiment of concentrated Satchidananda, which is a beautiful form of Krishna. And then you have the impersonal Brahman, which is the diluted aspect of Satchidananda Tattva. This is how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta explains it. And this diluted form of Satchidananda is nothing but the bodily effulgence of that concentrated Satchidananda form of Krishna in the spiritual world. In the Brahma Samhita also, Sri Brahmaji says, Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He speaks about Govinda. Govinda Madhi Purusham, I offer my respectful obeisances to that Govinda who has a form, Vigraha. That Vigrahasya, his form has Satchidananda. So he is the concentrated form of Satchidananda. And Ujjvala, that form is very resplendent. It is shining, blissfully shining. And not only that, this beautiful form, which is spiritual, is endowed with senses, transcendental senses, angani yasya. And those senses are not restricted in their function, because each of those spiritual senses can perform the functions of all other senses. So Krishna can eat with his eyes, he can see with his ears, and so on. So the senses of the Lord are not restricted like our senses are restricted in the material body. So therefore, the understanding of the Lord having eyes everywhere has to be seen in this way. That the Lord ultimately is the person with transcendental senses, but he expands himself as a super soul, enters into the heart of every living entity, is also present within every atom, Anantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. And therefore, because the Lord is everywhere, he sees everything. He knows everything, past, present and future. So there is no limitation upon the Lord. Those who are impersonalists claim that the Absolute Truth cannot have form. And their argument is that the Absolute Truth cannot have form because if he has form, it means he would be limited. And by definition, God is unlimited. So this is a contradiction. And therefore, the Lord cannot have form. But this is a fallacious argument. Srila Prabhupada one time mentions that if the Lord doesn't have form, then he is limited. How can the Lord not have anything? We have form. He is the source of everything. And therefore he must include within himself everything in his creation, and that perhaps which may not also be in his creation. So because we see form in this material world, so Krishna must have form. Very simple logic. Once I saw a little film about the Gurukula, and there was one little boy with a shaven head, and Tilak was a student of the Gurukul, and he was asked, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And he says, Krishna. And he said, Krishna have a form? He says, yes. Why do you say that? If we have a form, then why? How is it that Krishna can't have a form? So very sublime logic that can be understood even by a child. But people may respond to that and say, but well, we also see things that are formless. Therefore, do you agree that the Lord is formless? Yes. He is simultaneously formless. He also has a form. But because it is a form that is a source of the formless, therefore the original form is superior. It is again simple logic to understand that the origin of something is superior to that which emanates from it. So because the form is a source of the formlessness, even though the form and the formlessness reside together simultaneously and they make a composite complete whole, supreme, complete, absolute truth, nevertheless one must make the distinction of the origin or the original form of the Lord as being supreme. So that is the first point. The second fallacy in the argument of the Mayavadis, who claim that the absolute truth cannot have a form, is their argument that form is limiting. This is not true necessarily. It is only true when it comes to matter. Because they have experienced, and indeed we all have experienced only of the material world, and all the forms that we see in the material world are made of matter, and all these forms are limited, therefore we extrapolate that, we extend this logic beyond the scope of our sense perception, and we arrive at a faulty conclusion that because form is limited in this material world, any form must be limited. But the point is, what is limiting is not form. What is limiting is matter. Because the form is made of matter, therefore the forms are limited. But when we understand that the forms are made of spirit in the spiritual world, and Krishna is the origin of the spiritual world also, so his form is unlimited. So because his body is spiritual in every way, therefore there is no limitation on it. Krishna's form is unlimited in space as well as in time. How is Krishna's form limited in space? One way in which Krishna's form is unlimited in space is that he can expand and contract his size at will unlimitedly. So he can become the gigantic form of Mahavishnu, from the pores of whose skin emanate universes. How big is our universe? It is beyond our conception. And this one universe is the size of Mahavishnu's pore, skin pore. And he can even be bigger than that if he wants. Unlimitedly big. And he is also so tiny that he can accommodate himself into every atom. So Krishna's form can expand and it can contract unlimitedly. Our form, our material form, cannot do that. So we are severely limited. Our form does grow from babyhood to old age. It keeps changing and growing, but it is very limited. Krishna's form can expand and contract unlimitedly. So this is the first way in which we can understand the unlimited nature of Krishna's spiritual form. The second way to understand Krishna's unlimited form is that he can expand himself also unlimitedly into unlimited number of forms. Indeed, he does so as the super soul. He exhibits this mystic transcendental potency, for example, during the Rasa Leela, when he expands to be with each gopi. He exhibits that even in Dwarka, when he is present with every single queen at the same time in a different palace. And when Narad Muni comes to Dwarka, he is astounded to see this. And he is reminded of the mystic potencies of the yogis of this world who can expand their material bodies into 8 or 9 forms. But then, these forms imitate each other, of the original form rather. But each of Krishna's transcendentally expanded forms was doing something different in each palace. So in this way we can understand that Krishna's transcendental form is unlimited in space. It is also unlimited in time, because there is no degeneration or diminution or any form of degradation of that particular form. In this material world, as Srila Prabhupada explains often, everything undergoes 6 stages of transformation: birth, growth, maturity, production of byproducts, dwindling, and eventual destruction. But Krishna's body doesn't undergo these transformations. Krishna's body is untouched by the destructive effects of time, because time is his energy, kalosmi. So time assists Krishna in the fulfillment of his desires and his objectives. But time can never control Krishna. But we are all in the material world under the clutches of time. Therefore, our body degenerates and is ultimately destroyed by the effects of time. Loka kshaya krit pravrittaha. So Krishna says, I am time. I have descended into this material world to destroy everything. So by time, our forms, our material forms are destroyed. But Krishna's form, his transcendental form, is never destroyed. So we can see that Krishna's form, therefore, is transcendental, it is spiritual, it is not limited by space and time. Today also is the disappearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So it is befitting to speak a few words about this great Acharya. The most common songs that we sing in our daily practices are mostly from Narottam Das Thakur, also from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but these are the two main Acharyas whose songs we sing very frequently. Every day in the morning in Guru Vandana we sing Narottam Das Thakur's prayer, glorifying the spiritual master. And so many of the songs that we sing frequently are his compositions. Srila Prabhupada cites his songs many times in his lectures, in his purports. And he uses these quotations to illustrate devotional principles that are very important. For example, Chardiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paisha Keva. Unless one serves the Vaishnavas, there is no hope for any liberation from material bondage and the attainment of perfection. So Prabhupada cites this one line so many times. He says that the songs of Narottam Das Thakur are very important authoritative conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. He says that these songs are written in very simple Bengali language for the common folk in Bengal in those days to understand, but they contain very deep meaning. They are very profound in every respect. Srila Prabhupada also sometimes sang these songs and spoke. He gave purports to that in his talk. So there are at least 4 songs that are there in a Vaishnava song book. One of them is, I think, the Gauranga Bolite Habe. And then he also spoke about Gaurangira Duti Pada. Then Parama Karuna Bahu Duijana. So he spoke at length on these songs. He elaborated them. He gave purpose to these verses, to these songs. So Narottam Das Thakur is a very important Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya for us, because he is a very pioneering, trailblazing preacher. Whether it's a question of book distribution, he was a pioneer. He was the one who inspired Jiva Goswami, Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda Pandit to go out and distribute books. So the original inspiration for them, go to West Bengal and distribute these books. Also in terms of speaking in the local language rather than in Sanskrit, which the common people could understand, the local Bengali language. The organizing of festivals in Kheturi, the first large-scale God Purnima festival was organized by him. In terms of the various styles of Kirtan, Garanhati, etc., which was started by him. So his preaching, he set many new standards in preaching. Also, very pioneering in terms of social transformation, not seen since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was not born in a caste Brahmana family, and there was much resistance to his being accepted as a spiritual master by the caste Brahmanas. And especially what riled them more was that he had some Brahmana disciples who were very prominent. And there are many pastimes about this, of course. We don't have time to speak about them. And those devotees who go today to Narottam Das Thakur's Samadhi will probably hear these pastimes. So Narottam Das Thakur was a social reformer in that sense, and a spiritual reformer, because he established the important Siddhanta that being a spiritual master is not dependent on one's birth. So Srila Narottam Das Thakur came here to Vrindavan, lived here for many years. He accepted initiation from Lokanath Goswami. It required a lot of persuasion, and we've heard that pastime many times. And he plays a very, very important role in our parampara. So today is his disappearance day, and we can offer our obeisances to his lotus feet and beg for his mercy so that we may progress in our Krishna consciousness and please our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. If there are any comments or questions, please feel free to make them. Yeah. Yes, the back there.
Krishna says, by me, my 1 minute has been formed. This entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And Krishna, of course, here says in 1515 that he's a super soul with him on his heart. So what is to be understood that when Krishna says, I am not in them?
It means that he is still retaining his identity. That even though he is everywhere, but he still remains the Supreme Transcendental Person, his personality is not destroyed when he expands himself and becomes all-pervading. He still remains the complete Supreme Person residing in his own abode. Okay? Any other comments or questions? Yes, there's a... Yes.
It seems that in many of the religions they don't understand what we understand, the Brahma speaks of the Brahma Samhita, by Dvaitam and Shuddham and Adam and Atulupam, God is not subject to the law of contradiction. In the Sistine Chapel of Rome, God is being as an old man, and the Jewish philosopher, Maimonides, says God can't be a person, because
if he had a form, he'd be limited. So somehow they don't have this idea that God is actually beyond this law of contradiction. Yes, God is, if I understood you right, you're saying that there are some people who cannot understand that God is beyond the contradiction of personal and impersonal?
Also, like he's the oldest person.
And the youngest.
He's always appearing as a fresh
youth. Yes. Yes.
In one place it can't be in another.
The contradiction is resolved when we understand the form to be spiritual. If the form is material, then old age means degradation and destruction. It will have frailties. But when the body is spiritual, it is not affected by time. So then there's no difference. There's no such thing as old age as we understand it. So whether old or young, one is still equally fresh. So the key is to understand the spiritual form of the Supreme Lord. And if one doesn't have that understanding, then this appears to be a contradiction. How the oldest person can also be supremely young at the same time. Okay? Thank you. Yeah, one Mataji has a question there.
Thank you very much for your class. It's wonderful. I was just wondering, when you mentioned that Krishna knows past, present, and future, I just wonder whether you could expand a little bit about the future and our time, free will in relation to it. Thank you.
So if I understood you right, your question is, if Krishna does know past, present and future, so he knows our future, how is that connected to the use of our free will in the future? So what you're asking perhaps is, does Krishna know what we're going to do in the future? Yes, he does. Because if he doesn't know that, then he will not be all-knowing. By definition, Krishna is all-knowing. So how does that relate to our free will? Krishna does not interfere in the exercise of our free will. He knows how we are going to exercise that free will. That is what it means, that he is aware of the future. He will leave us to our desires. And he will facilitate our desires, as the Upanishads say. That's what he does as super soul in the material world. But because he knows what we're going to do in the future, it doesn't mean that he's interfering with the exercise of our free will. He just knows that this is how we're going to use our free will at this point in time in the future, every point in time in the future. And he knows that for every living entity. So this is what it means to be God. And still there are some people who say, well, we are all God. I'm also God. So, okay, so... Yes, one final point, last point is... Yes.
You mentioned Nirguna.
Yes.
You mentioned about Nirguna.
Yes.
Prabhupada says in one paper, Guna is infectious disease and Nirguna is transcendent.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, I think we'll stop here because, sorry, we are running out of time. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.